God will bless or curse a nation, sometimes just because of the leader. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
That was Steve Brown. Life isn't a dress rehearsal, and that's why this program, Key Life, is around. Honest, practical, and street-smart Bible teaching for the business and living. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to 1 and 2 Kings as we continue with our Old Testament survey. If you were listening yesterday, I gave you a lot of voluminous amount of introductory material on these two books of the Bible. And now we're looking at some of the themes. There are three major themes in 1 and 2 Kings. We're going to go through those. And then I'm going to go back and just kind of go through the books, picking out every two or three or four chapters, something of particular sight I think will be of interest to you in terms of practical teaching from God's Word. Now, it's my hope that as we go through the Old Testament this way in this kind of survey, that it will inspire you greatly to go to the Old Testament and spend some time there. Most people say, I read the Old Testament. I read the 23rd Psalm every morning. Listen, that's not reading the Old Testament. There is so much that's so good there. It's the Bible, incidentally, that Jesus had and believed in absolutely. And he is the king. And if that's how he feels about it, how should we feel about it? At any rate, after the introductory material, I introduce the first of the three themes that run throughout the book of 1 and 2 Kings. And then we'll... And that was as follows. Position, power, and authority carry great responsibility. And yesterday I suggested in Acts 1, after Jesus told his disciples, don't do anything, just be still and wait. After that, they dealt with the leadership problem in the early church. Why did they do that? Because leaders are really, really important. The interesting thing in 1 and 2 Kings is that God blesses a nation sometimes just because of the leaders. And sometimes a nation is cursed just because of their leaders. Leaders are praised in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and the nation is blessed when the leaders are wise, when they're reasonably moral, when they are close to God, and when they have integrity. And leaders, when they're condemned, the nation is hurt. When leaders are proud, when they're corrupt, when they don't care dink about God's people, when they're not decisive. Their stand before the world and before God has to be of the quality that I read in a novel not too long ago. An old farmer was answering a physician's question. The question was this, what are we going to do now? And the farmer said, before God, we must be worms, and before the world, we must be eagles. Leaders are very important. Did you vote back when the presidential election was going on? You didn't. Now, Jesus still loves you, and I'm trying. but leaders are important. And as you go through 1 and 2 Kings, man, the thing that just hit you in the face is, whoa, bad leaders, bad problems. Good leaders, good stuff. And then the second of the themes that you'll find running throughout 1 and 2 Kings is that God is long-suffering. He is very patient, but enough's enough. Let me say it again. Now, you're not going to get this out of a commentary, so you got to listen to me. This is the great theme. God is long-suffering. He is very, very patient, but enough is enough. When I look back on my life, and I suspect you feel the same way, I am amazed at two things. First, I'm amazed at God's grace. If I've gotten what I deserve, in fact, if I got now what I deserve, and I suspect it's not going to change tomorrow, I'd be fried. I mean, it'd be over. There just wouldn't be any hope for me. I'd be dead. There's a place in the liturgy that I use each morning in my devotions where it's the section where you praise God and you thank God for all of his blessings and all of his goodness, and then there's a place where you name them. But there's a place in the liturgy that says, when I deserve nothing but thy wrath and judgment and condemnation and destruction. That's true. Listen, God is patient. And I'm an example of that. And you are too. But The second great thing when I look back over my life is that when God pulls the rope, he jerks it hard and it hurts. That's Hebrews 12, and you find it throughout the Bible. Sometimes God says, enough is enough. And God is more understanding than you could possibly believe. A lot more understanding and kind and gentle than a lot of Christians. But he's God. And you've got to remember that. I've given this to you a number of times because it's one of my favorite quotes, but I'm not above reviewing quotes again. The historian Baird was asked what he learned from all of his studies in history. You know what he said? Four things. The bee fertilizes the flower from which it robs. Secondly, I have learned when it gets dark enough, you can see the stars. Thirdly, I have learned that those whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. And finally, I have learned that the wheels of God grind very slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. 1 Peter 3:9, and unless you're a Baptist, you're not going to find it before I read it. And unless you're a Baptist who participated in one of those sword drills, you're not. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. I was not the best student when I was in high school. Well, that's probably an understatement. I graduated third from the bottom at Lee Edwards High School in Asheville, North Carolina, and I was lucky to get that. And I had a history teacher there, and you know one time, she cried because she loved me. She failed me. You believe that? She cried because she loved me, and then she failed me. God is sometimes like that. He never fails us. We get an A. He'll never let us go. He makes sure that we're going to become more and more like Jesus, but he's not safe. And you need to try and remember that. And that's one of the themes that you'll find out in 1st and 2nd Kings. You'll see grace and long-suffering and patience on the part of the God of the universe, but you will also see him saying, enough is enough. And then thirdly, in terms of the three great themes that you'll find running throughout 1st and 2nd Kings, is that in the midst of the most terrible sin and rebellion, God is not without his witness. Let me say it again. In the midst of the most terrible and rebellion and sin, God is not without his witness, so that nobody will ever be able to say, why didn't you tell me? In the person of Elijah, and then Elisha later on, God was making his truth known to some turkeys. I remember when I was a morning man in a radio station, WORL in Boston, Massachusetts. That radio station was something else. Frank Sinatra had been on the board back when he was young. They used to tie up traffic downtown. It had been one of the first stations in the country to format with music all the time instead of the old radio dramas. And it literally took off a lot of the pale that happened at that place. But you need to know that broadcasting people, I'm talking about secular broadcasting, are generally fairly pagan. I don't want to say universally, because some very fine people are in commercial broadcasting, but can we talk? They don't cuss much, or at least they didn't in those days, because the FCC would take your license away if you did. So their language was usually pretty good, but not their lives. I remember coming in and being introduced and trained when I was getting ready to do the morning show. And there was a guy who did the afternoon show, and I love him more than I can tell you. His name was Joe Flamitti. And he said, where are you from? And I said, I'm from North Carolina. He said, why did you come to Boston? I said, well, I came to Boston to go to a school of theology at Boston University, but I'm not doing it anymore. I'm doing broadcasting. He said, oh, man, you're a Christian. I said, no, I'm a Methodist, because I didn't know the difference. I could have said Presbyterian or Catholic, and I didn't realize that you can be a part of an institution, and that doesn't make you the reality that the institution proclaims. You can go sleep in a garage, but it doesn't make you a car. But I remember Joe saying that, and then Joe came alongside me during those months and those years. He very gently told me about Christ and about the reality that was taught in the Bible. And in the midst of that commercial broadcasting time, God had a witness. I remember at Boston University School of Theology, and they're liberals just this side of Whoopi. And I love those guys, but they were wrong. And I remember one guy who went to study under T.F. Torrance in Scotland. Now, Torrance was kind of a big gun, and he loved Jesus. And he sat under this tremendous scholar, and when he came back, he bore witness at Boston University. We laughed at him, but God had a witness. I remember the most liberal church I ever served had four women who prayed every week. Man, if they prayed for the ceiling to come down, you better crawl under a table, because God was going to do it. I used to watch them. And they were God's witness to me. I remember, I've got to bring this to an end. I can't just keep talking. In fact, I don't even have time to tell you another story, and I had a wonderful story I was going to tell you. But I want you to remember this. I know it's bad. I know there are pagans everywhere. I know that sometimes you feel in a minority, but you need to know that God never leaves anything without a witness. And you're it. You think about that. Amen. Listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Pink family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me explain how it works. Once you give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of our Key Life tape family. We'll do it for you. Now, you'll start receiving a tape automatically every few weeks, and these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, I will tell you how. These are places where I teach the Bible, a Reformed Seminary where I teach, at the Bible Conference, the Billy Graham Training Center, Lake Barkley, a missions conference, and we send tapes out, and if you've got a Bible and a cassette recorder, you and I can study the Bible again. If you'd like to do this, I'd love for you to be a part of our family, and they keep coming as long as you want them. And they're absolutely free, and I mean that. That does not mean that I'll turn down a contribution, because this is a very expensive ministry. So if you can, and I know some of you can, but if you can help us be as generous as you can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching as my thank you, dealing with temptation. Hey, listen, whenever you're wired or call, would you give us a call letters of this great station? Oh, yes, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.